This is Wilbur F. Heist. Today's date is April 10th, 1975. The time is 4 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. Heist of Bay City, Michigan. Topic to be discussed are the oil business from 1937 to 1967.
We started in this oil business back in 1937. Prior to our starting in the oil business here, I was on the road for Standard Oil Company for a year, and then we took the distributorship for Standard Oil in this area for consuming products, which would be gasoline and fuel oil, lubricants, and related products to the consuming trade. And after spending 10 years with the Standard Oil Company, we then left them and took the business with us, and we went competitive to Standard Oil Company. Then we did the same type of delivery to the customers with the competitive product as we did with the Standard Oil products. We started back in 37, and at that time the price of fuel oil was for number one fuel oil 7.5 cents a gallon, and number two oil at that time was 6.5 cents a gallon. And I just today happened to be in the office over at the oil company, and I noticed that number one oil was 38.9 and number two oil was 37.9. So that gives you a little bit of an idea as to what the change in price was. Also back in 37 when we started, we bought a truck for $750, and the last one that I bought in 1965 was $5,500. So it also shows the increase in the price of equipment. Now back in 37 when we started, nearly all the customers had 55 gallon drums that they stored their product in. And for many years we handled the commodity with buckets, the 5 gallon bucket that you delivered your product from the tank truck to the container, and you poured it through a funnel into their containers. Then after we reached a point of higher volume in our business, we installed pump and hose on our truck that was powered by the engine, and people began to put 275 gallon containers for fuel oil and put them up on high legs, and it became impossible to deliver any more with buckets because you'd have to carry it up a stepladder. And believe me, when you went up a stepladder after a sleet storm with a 5 gallon bucket and attempted to pour that product into a funnel, it was a real manipulation to keep your balance, and occasionally the ladder would slip and you'd come down with the bucket and the fuel. And you always tried to keep the bucket upright, because the bucket, if it turned over and spilled on the lawn, you had a claim of dead grass, because it would kill the grass wherever the fuel oil was spilled. And particularly so if there was snow on the ground, because it would follow through the snow and it would kill a huge area of the grass. Well, then after they came out with the pump and hose situation, why, of course, it was much better for us. But as the volume, of course, started to increase, it would have been impossible anyway to have delivered it with buckets. So we started out with a 50-foot length of hose, and then we finally got to 100. And in 65, when we bought the new truck, we had 150 feet of hose on there, because the new homes, they didn't want the fill pipes to the tanks that were in the basement on the front of the house, so they put them around the back of the house. So we had to have longer hose. And when we started, we used 1-inch hose, and of course, as the volume got heavier, we went to 1¼-inch hose. Originally, we used to have to roll the hose up by hand, and as time went along, we came up with power rewind reels, so that all you had to do was press a button and you could wind the hose back up with the power from the truck. Well, then back in in the neighborhood of 1945, the farmers began to no longer want to bucket the fuel from their storage into their tractors, so they started buying overhead tanks. And we would pump the product, which would be gasoline, of course, up into these tanks, and then they could, all they had to do was open the nozzle and it would flow from the tank gravity into their tractors. You better shut the door for a moment.
Well, let me ask you some questions now. How many years were you involved in the oil business?
Be 31 years in all.
Okay. What exactly was involved in this oil business?
The first year, when I was on the road for the Standard Oil Company, it involved selling to service stations and calling on consumer trade. I was not a driver at that time, a truck driver. You would be classed as a salesman. And the first year that I was hired into the company, my job would have been service station merchandising supervisor, because I'd had 8 years of experience in display and merchandising in the grocery business. And my title when I was hired as a salesman really was service station merchandising supervisor. And within 6 months after I was hired, the company then started leasing their station. So once the station was leased, they had no control over the station, so the job was abolished, and then I was transferred to the sales end of the thing, and called on retail and service station consumer trade. Okay.
All right. How many people in the area needed and used oil?
Well, when we first started, of course, I saw the evolution of the oil burning business. Perhaps the first year that we started on the truck, I don't think had over 50 oil burning customers. And we had a greater number of farm customers because, as you know, the farms at that time were smaller. And today, of course, farmers have been forced into larger acreage for economic reasons. And so while we saw a growth in our total gallonage as far as farm gasoline was concerned, the amount of customers that we did business with diminished. But our consumers became larger consumers and fewer of them. The oil burner business, of course, for home heating continued to grow as people converted from coal and wood to oil. And the interesting thing about the oil business and to not produce a misconception, it wasn't the well-to-do people that really promoted home heating oil. Because at the time I started, if you ordered a half ton of coal, it cost you more per ton to buy it by a half ton. The price was higher for a half ton than it would be for a whole ton. But we would deliver in a 50-gallon barrel fuel oil at the same price as we did in a larger tank. So these people could not afford to buy a ton of coal, but they could afford to buy 50 gallons of oil. So it was really the poor people that really developed the fuel oil business. And of course, then later on, the more well-to-do people began to put in oil burners. But the home heating oil business was promoted by the poor people.
Okay. What area did you service?
We covered an area from Bay City west of the 6 Mile Road, south to the Saginaw County line, and north to Beaver Road. And this was our operating territory.
Okay. Was the oil very expensive?
Said that. Well, back in, of course, as I said, in 1937, it was 6.5 and 7.5 cents a gallon. where today it is 37 and 38 cents a gallon. Okay.
And it was sold in 50-gallon drums?
Back in 1937, nearly everyone had 50-gallon drums. And of course, if they had just one drum, we had to service them every 7 days. If they had two drums, it would be every 14 days.
Okay. And how many trucks did it take to service this area?
When I started back in 37, of course, we had one truck. And then just prior to World War II, the volume got so large that we had to go to two trucks. And then before we sold the business, we had three trucks. But we used the third truck more as an emergency vehicle, and it was a standby vehicle. If we ran into a snowstorm where we couldn't move for a few days, then I had a man that had worked for me and knew how to make these deliveries, and he would fill in with the third truck so that we could get caught up again.
Okay. Was the oil readily available for the people?
We had an abundant supply of oil, with the exceptions of the year after World War II. In the year of World War II, of course, or during World War II, we were operating under a rationing program where the customer had to have ration stamps for not only fuel oil but gasoline as well. And we didn't have any shortage during World War II until the year after. But the year after, of course, we suffered a terrific shortage.
Okay. Can you tell us what happened during the shortage?
Well, we didn't have fuel from about the first week in January. I know we were some 60-some days without kerosene in stock, and we used to get the fuel in by tank car, and there was three of us operating out of this bulk plant, and we'd split the car between the three of us. And I know at one time I went out to one of my competitors and bought a load of fuel oil and paid him retail price for it, and took it out and delivered it to the customer for the same price as we paid for it, because there was a market price on fuel, and to try and keep their fires going for them, why, we delivered it for the same price as we paid for it. And I'm reminded of, I had the two trucks at the time and had a driver for this second truck, but we didn't have any product for the second truck, so the two of us worked together on the truck this one day when we had bought the product for at retail price. So we had delivered that load in the morning, and I think we made some 60 stops out of 800 gallons. And when we went to go into lunch at noon, he said, "What are we going to have?" And I said, "If we eat our profit, we'll have a glass of water and a toothpick." That's about
Okay. Did you offer your customers any other services besides delivering the oil to them?
Yes. Very early in the oil business, I took up burner service work, and with the help of one of the fellows I worked with, I developed burner service. So we not only delivered the fuel to them, but we also took care of their burner needs while we had the business. And also the farmers, when we took the business in 37, about 10% of them was getting their refunds from the state for their gasoline tax used off the highway. And we built that up to where 99.9% of them were getting their refund. And the reason that they hadn't been getting the refund, it was a rather complicated form, and they were afraid of getting in trouble with the government for misinformation that they might put down on their form. So we made the things out for them, and we got 99.9% of them getting their gas tax refund back that they were justly entitled to. Because gasoline that's used off the highway tax, is not applicable. However, we had to charge it, and then the customer in turn got a refund back from the state through an affidavit application which they had to sign that they didn't use this gallonage on the highway.
Okay. We all know that the oil business has changed a lot in recent years, but can you tell us exactly how this has changed?
Well, up until the time that we got out of it in 67, it hadn't changed a great deal from when we started, other than the fact that the customers, of course, became fewer in number and larger, and they, of course, got larger storages. But we still maintained the routing just the same as we did back in 1937 when we started. In other words, we called on the farm customer every week and tried to do it on the same day each week so he knew when we were coming. So if there was anything that he needed special, he would leave a note on his storage for us to leave perhaps a can of grease or a can of motor oil, whatever his extra needs would be. And during the height of the farming season, we might work all day and not see a farm customer because he knew that if his storage was down, we would fill it, and we in turn knew that he would pay for it when the bill came due. Now, we were perhaps one of the only oil companies here in town that had a carrying charge on their invoice. A very interesting thing. As the Sears and Roebuck and many of the retail establishments began to have a carrying charge and wanting you to buy on credit, we found that without a carrying charge, they would use our money to pay the carrying charge account. And of course, they'd leave us wait until they had extra money to pay us. So we developed a carrying charge on our invoice, and it was stamped on there when the due date would be. And originally we started out at 6% of the invoice. Now, this was not 6% interest, it was 6% of the invoice as a penalty. And we gave the farmer 6 months because from the time he planted until he harvested, he doesn't have any income. And the homeowner, we gave 60 days, which is 30 days more than the normal credit terms are. But we gave him 60 days without a carrying charge. Then after 60 days and after 6 months, we charged them 6% carrying charge. And a very interesting thing happened. We were going through our books one day and we decided that maybe 6% was a little too severe. So we reduced the carrying charge to 4%. We had to go back to 6 because right away the customer said, I'd rather pay you 4 than the bank 6. And certainly we couldn't compete with the banks. So we had to go back to 6%.
Okay. How many other oil companies were there in the area along with yours?
Actively in our territory, we had about 5 that were active. However, in the territory that we covered, we would probably have had at least 75% of the business. Now, one of the reasons that we didn't branch out farther after we had left Standard Oil was we tried to stay condensed and have good control of the area that we were operating in. And the reason for that is if you can keep your area condensed where you have trucks on the road, it's much more profitable because of your operating mileage cost. If you can stay within the a certain area and control that area, then it is profitable to operate, and like I said, we covered the route every week. We frowned on, occasionally we had requests to go maybe as far as Auburn, as far north as Linwood, or maybe down towards Saginaw. But we would turn them down because of the operating cost of making that extra mileage. And if you were to have this customer and they had to have a special trip for any reason, then it would be costly to make that extra mileage. Back in 67 when we started, we could drive as far as Winona Beach for a 5-gallon can of kerosene for a customer. And today, of course, at the cost of equipment, you couldn't do that. Many of the companies that were in the oil business used to refuse to make a 50-gallon delivery. We didn't refuse to make the delivery, but we charged them 2 cents a gallon more for small deliveries. Now this is, of course, probably back after, say, 55 from there on. When the equipment began to cost much more money, then you couldn't make these deliveries in small lots for what we used to deliver originally. And of course, we never refused to make deliveries to anyone that would pay for their product, but occasionally we had to refuse to make a delivery to somebody who didn't choose to pay for their product. Now, we had a keep fill service for gasoline and fuel oil, and very, very seldom we ever had one run out of fuel. And as long as they paid their bill, we kept their tanks filled. And occasionally we'd have to let one run out, because it seemed as if he had the idea as long as we kept oil in there, he didn't have to pay for it. So we'd let them run out and call us and wonder then why they ran out. And the reason then would be, if you would pay your bill, you wouldn't be out of fuel. And this, of course, we had to do occasionally. Another thing, of course, when we routed the farm route, we had a few farmers that were sort of touch and go. And we would run the route the same way all the time, so they knew within a few hours of the time that we would be there. Now, if you had someone on that route that was getting behind in his bill and you couldn't catch him home, then we would reverse the route. In other words, we'd start where we would normally finish for that day and go the other way, and invariably you'd catch him home.
Tricky. Okay, how many miles a week did you have to drive to complete your normal route?
That's a little hard to say, although we used to change our trucks about every 4 years, and we would have between 50 and 60,000 miles on the truck at the end of 4 years. So this, if you would choose to break it down, would give you a pretty good idea as to what our weekly mileage was. This was one of the things that in any business that you have to consider is your overhead operating cost. And this is one of the reasons we routed. If you didn't route and you let the customer call you when they wanted product, your operating expense would be terrific. But by routing, you kept your per delivery mileage down. And of course, when you keep mileage down in the trucking industry, you keep your expense down.
Okay. Was there any changes in your business from winter months to summer and spring and fall?
In the winter months, of course, the gasoline business was very light. Most of that gasoline that we sold to the farmers then was used in automobiles and trucks. And of course, the fuel oil business would be very heavy in the winter months. You had an overlap between in the spring before the farmers really got going, but you started filling their storage before they got in the field. And then you also had fuel oil deliveries to make along with it. This you had an overlap there. And you also had an overlap in the fall, because fuel oil would start and the farmers are still going. So you had a period in there when you would really be busy.
Did you have a bookkeeper in your business, or did you keep your own records?
Well, I had a low-salaried bookkeeper. I had my wife, and she worked without pay. So she was the bookkeeper, with exceptions of when she was sick at one time. Then I first had a bookkeeper. And as Carol got older, she did the bookkeeping for us for some time, and we carried a dual set of ledgers. And the reason we carried the dual set of ledgers was it amounted to a considerable amount of money, of course, and rather than keep one set in the house, I carried one with me in the truck, and she had one at home. And if someone called on the phone and wanted to know what their balance was, she could tell them. Or if one of my customers, when I was on the truck, wanted to know, I could tell them immediately. And I posted my own ledger, and she posted hers. And if we had a difference when it came to balance the account, then we could sit down at home and figure out who was right and who was wrong. And we never went to the customer without knowing what the balance was, without first balancing our own books against each other. Then we would determine if their balance that they carried. Many of the people kept a record. And of course today in the farming, it's required now that they keep composite records. And occasionally we'd have a customer bring their record in, and we would update it with our record. As you probably are aware, many of the housewives were not the best bookkeepers, particularly on the farm, and they would miss writing down a ticket, or sometimes they would pay a make a payment, forget to write it down. So we would update their record for them, and it helped them, of course. And we tried to show them how to instruct them how to keep their book for their record. And ticket numbers, we always referred to the invoices by ticket number.
How many people are still using fuel oil and gas today?
Well, in this area, there's many less than there was, because we had many customers while we had the business, and we had served them well over the years, and they didn't care to change to gas. But when we sold the business and we're no longer delivering to them, many of them changed to gas where gas lines were available. As a matter of fact, I even changed the furnaces over myself, put the burners in. And the reason, of course, was that it was much more convenient for them, because the fuel was always there. And they just didn't feel that, probably, in fact, people used to say that I was the best oil man in the business. But it was because we never let them run out of fuel. And through our keep fill process, we had very few that did run out. And generally, if they did run out, it would be because they failed to pay for their past deliveries, and we'd have to let them run out to really wake them up that they had to pay for their product.